The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Yes, Aoife Lee, the parent coach at parentsupport.ie is with me. And Aoife, we ask people to get in touch with questions because whenever you're in, whatever you're talking about, we're always kind of inundated. So we kind of threw it out to the masses to see what they wanted to talk about. And we've got a kind of a great selection already. And if people are just tuning in now, 087 1400 106, the number if you want to get in touch. We might start with this one. My son, who's age 7, has a really limited diet. This is fitting, actually, because we've been talking about school lunches today. And I'm trying to get him to experiment with new foods. What ways can I do it to make the transition more easy?
Yeah, I know. This is actually quite a common scenario for families, whether it is resistance to trying stuff or that, you know, the adults are trying to introduce more foods. And it's really important to know and recognise that it takes so long for some kids to actually accept a new food. So it's trying to take the stress out of it initially, because our kids are so quick to kind of pick up on that. One really nice one-liner that I have found helpful with my own kids over the years was like, parent provides, child decides. And that is, we can't force or insist our kids to eat foods. That being said, what I find really helpful is if you are serving up a meal, whether it be breakfast, lunch and dinner, and you want to try something different, bring it in with foods that they actually really enjoy. So, I mean, I know my 7-year-old doesn't fancy stew and it is the season for it.
Yeah, good taste.
You know,
I'm with them.
Yeah, nice bit of home stew. But I do give them a couple of tablespoons, literally, and then I might serve up a boiled egg, grated cheese, a portion of fruit. And what that does is overall is it just takes that element of insisting he eats everything, while that there's an enjoyable element to it. Because what often happens is when we see our kids resist or refuse, that's where the stress comes in, and that's where all that attention comes to the fore, and it becomes stressful before we even start the meal. So, you know, be open to kind of manage your own expectations that it does take a while, and to encourage these foods with foods that they actually really like.
Yeah, and that's the thing. You have to, I guess there comes a point where you have to accept that children have their own taste and their own palate, that they might just simply not like certain foods.
Yeah, having likes and dislikes is really important.
They're not just being stubborn. They genuinely don't like mushrooms.
No. I mean, look, I would often ask my own clients, like, is there any foods that you actually just don't like? And one of the top foods are cucumber and tomato.
Really?
Yes. And these are adults. And yeah, so we have to kind of put ourselves in our kids' shoes as well.
So parent provides, child decides.
Yeah.
It's a good mantra.
Yeah.
Aoife, my daughter, who's 16, has come home asking about a nose piercing.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how I feel about it, but she's really keen. What should I do?
Yeah. And we
get
actually
an ice cube and a safety pin.
Yeah. Oh,
do it
my
yourself.
God. Do you know, because I remember chatting about this in the show there earlier on last year. And, you know, we're talking about tattoos and clothing and piercings. One thing I'd say is, at least with a piercing, it can be removed. But that aside, it's important that we see the world from our teenagers' perspective, because they are, you know, figuring out their own sense of self, their own sense of identity. They're also conforming. They're being influenced. They want to fit into their peer group. And that will often encourage and influence decisions that they come home with, or, you know, what their preferences are. So you've got that element of it. And aside to that, then we've got the adults, you know, that hold their own values and beliefs. They've got their own expectations to what they want their kids to be. And, you know, at the same time, we're like, well, we want to instill boundaries and expectations at home. So one thing I would say to this particular family is to be prepared to just hear them out. Listen to what they have to say. Where do they want that piercing? And rather than saying, absolutely, no way, no chance, forget about it, that's where you'll kind of expect the resistance.
Yeah.
If our kids,
they might go off and get the piercing somewhere where you can't see it.
You'll find that there'll be adults listening in tonight going, well, I did it myself.
Yeah.
So it's if our kids and our teenagers in particular have a sense that, okay, they're prepared to kind of listen and hear, that does help with it. That being said, it's okay to say no for now, and let's review it in 6 months' time or a year.
Well, talking about reviews, I'm really worried to somebody else about my children who are 8 and 12 and how much they spend on TikTok and in general with screen time. How do I go about limiting it without the tantrums?
Yeah, the ideal question this time of year. Yeah. We've just come off the bat of Christmas and there
when rules are all relaxed.
Everyone is just, you know, there's a blind eye has been with devices. And
go in there and play your PlayStation. And
yeah, you'd be
alone.
Grand and then come out bleary eyed 4 hours later. What I would say is that it's really important for the adults to establish some form of a plan or expectations at home. The kids are never going to ask us what the story is, when are we allowed or what are we allowed. The kind of ages and types of devices will often determine how we approach and how we manage it. Talk and agree with the kids. It's kind of the same narrative to that previous question. If the kids see that we are prepared to have a conversation with them about what's okay and what's not. You know, again, depending on the device, where they can play it or use it, what times of the day, you know, are devices off of meal times, out of bounds at meal times when you're having a conversation? I would always say to try and encourage devices out of the bedroom from when you start introducing your gaming consoles, phones. And look, I've got three kids myself up to the age of 16. We've had these conversations. And the issue with the screens in the bedroom is that this blue light that's omitted interferes with the sleepy, groggy melatonin that produces and that's where, it prevents that sleep aspect of it. It can interfere with sleep. But it's important that, you know, we form some expectations with the kids. And if they know that we're prepared to have them part of that conversation, the more they'll be willing to work with us.
Okay.
And the other baseline is persevere and follow through.
Hey, well, this is kind of similar. I suspect some of the advice might be similar for this question where the kids are 5 and 9 and it's kind of coming out of Christmas and everything and back in routine. But about bedtimes, and they're trying to introduce a routine but getting lots of pushback.
Yeah.
What's a good way to go about it?
And you know, families will continue to have issues. And I know we're second week back and, you know, it's always tricky Monday morning getting everyone up out of the bed. Post-holiday, particularly at Christmas, we are going to be quite chilled. We've been out of routine, out of kind of the habits that maybe we've been working hard on. One thing I would say is, and it's really important, kids thrive in routine and predictability and consistency. And they really do. And again, they're not going to tell us about it, but the proof is typically in the behaviours and kind of how they respond. And we often find ourselves sliding back into our usual ways. What I would often recommend to even my own families that I would see, look at what's actually going okay, what's going well at bedtime, right? And then look at what's causing the arguments and the upset and start from there. Typically, for bedtimes at this time of year, and again, after the holidays, their body clock is all over the place, you know. So what we need to do is try and work back. So this particular family, it's the younger kids. More often than not, overtiredness is the problem. And what happens is when our kids are overtired, they hit a wall, they get a second wind, they're ready to take on the night. And we're thinking, Jesus, they're not tired at all. And if anything, it's that adrenaline is just pumping. So what I would encourage for that particular family is to start to bring back bedtime a little bit earlier.
Okay.
Because sometimes, you know, you hear that when you miss the window. But I even know my youngest lad, when it goes past kind of 8:30, 9:15, now he's 7, I just know, oh, we're in for it now. And there'll be the chatter and the, I want something else, and all the delayed
tactics.
Can I
come just downstairs?
Yeah,
I just want to get a drink. I have a hot water bottle.
Yeah,
can I get that book?
Yeah, can I ask you a question? You go in on what? So all of that.
We've all been through it.
You know what? It's about trying to figure out, right, what's actually working and what do we need to change up. And then I kind of say it's like Groundhog Day, but just try and be, you know, create the same habits every single night.
Well, we did screen times and bedtimes and piercings and diet, and we only scratched the surface because loads of questions coming in, and we had other ones as well that had come in earlier. So yeah, we'll have to do it again, Aoife.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, listen, thanks a million. Aoife Lee, parent coach at parentsupport.ie.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.